Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Crow's Feast, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1. The Dead Don't Keep Secrets. Most people fear death. I don't. It's never scared me. Not the way it should. I suppose when you spend enough time among the dead, when you pry open coffins and see their hollow eyes staring back at you, the fear rots away, just like they do. I've been robbing graves for 6 years now. Started small. A few rings here, a gold tooth there. Something easy to flip at a pawn shop. But desperation has a way of making a man evolve, and soon enough, I wasn't just stealing from the dead, I was learning from them. See, the rich don't stop showing off just because they're 6 feet under. They go into the ground dressed in their finest suits, with wedding bands they won't be needing anymore. Some of them even clutch their rosaries like it's going to buy them a better seat in the afterlife. But I know better. God don't give a shit about jewelry. And neither do I. I only care about the price tag. That's why I was out in Greenlawn Cemetery that night. The moon was hidden behind thick clouds, but I didn't need the light. I knew the layout of this place better than my own home. There was a fresh burial, some rich prick named Martin Galloway, a real estate mogul who died in his sleep, the kind of guy who probably evicted single mothers for fun. I had no sympathy for the dead, especially not the kind that made their fortune off the misery of others. The soil was still loose, damp from the recent rain. It made digging easier, though the sweat on my back still clung to my shirt like a second skin. Each shovelful of dirt thumped against the ground, the sound lost in the night. I worked fast. Efficiency was everything. When the shovel struck wood, a sick grin pulled at my lips. Showtime. I knelt down, running my gloved fingers over the polished oak lid. Expensive. Would have cost more than my entire year's rent. I slid my crowbar under the seal and pried it open with a heavy crack. And there he was. Martin fucking Galloway. Face painted up like a wax figure, hands folded neatly over his stomach. He was bloated already, but the embalming fluid had done its job. He didn't stink. Not yet. I got to work, prying the thick gold ring off his swollen fingers. It took effort. The skin had started to stiffen, making it hard to slip off. I had to twist, pull, and finally snap. The finger broke at the joint, but the ring was mine. His watch, too. Solid gold. A Rolex. Would fetch a nice payday. I reached for the chain around his neck when I heard it. Snap. The sound of a twig breaking. I froze. Heart pounding. Breath locked in my chest. Someone was watching me. I slowly turned my head, eyes scanning the rows of gravestones. The cemetery was dead silent. Not even the wind stirred the trees. I waited. A minute. Two. Nothing. Just my paranoia fucking with me. I exhaled sharply and turned back to the body. But as I reached down, my eyes caught something. A grave. Not 10 feet away. Freshly buried. I hadn't noticed it before. Too busy with Martin Galloway. But the dirt was still damp, uneven. A brand new headstone stood at its base, the letters crisp and clear under the dim glow of my flashlight. And then I saw the name. Sarah Whitaker. My breath caught. The world tilted. I stepped closer, blinking hard, hoping my eyes were playing some cruel trick on me. But no. The name didn't change. Sarah Whitaker. My wife. I don't remember dropping the crowbar. I don't remember falling to my knees. Sarah couldn't be here. She was in Florida. With her sister. We hadn't spoken in months, but I knew she was alive. She had to be. I scrambled for my shovel, hands shaking, breath ragged. My mind screamed at me to stop, to think, but I ignored it. I dug like a man possessed, flinging dirt into the air, heart hammering so hard I thought it might burst. The further I dug, the more I realized something was wrong. The coffin was shallow. Too shallow. And it wasn't one of those polished mahogany caskets like Martin's. No velvet lining. No brass handles. Just a cheap wooden box. Hastily nailed shut. Like someone wanted her forgotten. The second my shovel hit the lid, I dropped to my knees and clawed at the wood. My fingers curled around the edge, and with a desperate grunt, I yanked it open. And there she was. Sarah. Her blonde hair matted with dirt, her lips parted in a frozen scream. Her skin was still soft. No sign of embalming. This wasn't a normal burial. This was a dump site. Someone had murdered my wife and buried her like fucking trash. And they thought she'd never be found. My stomach lurched, bile rising in my throat. I staggered back, my entire body shaking. This wasn't a robbery anymore. This was personal. The rage hit me so fast, so violently, that I almost lost control. My fists clenched, nails digging into my palms. Someone did this. Someone thought they could just put her in the ground and walk away. And they buried her in the worst possible place. My hunting ground. They should have burned her. Tossed her in the ocean. Because now I was going to dig up the truth. And I was going to bury whoever did this. For good. Chapter 2. Unearthing Lies. I stayed kneeling beside Sarah's grave for what felt like hours, but in reality, it was probably minutes. My fingers were numb, my breath ragged, and my heart was hammering so hard I thought it might explode in my chest. Sarah. My wife. My fucking wife was lying in a hole, her lips frozen in terror, her skin still soft. She hadn't been dead long. The thought nearly broke me. My mind fought against reality, scrambling for some kind of logic. Maybe it wasn't her. Maybe I was losing it. Maybe this was some cruel coincidence. Some other Sarah Whittaker who just happened to end up in the wrong goddamn place. But no. That was my Sarah. The scar on her wrist from when she broke a beer bottle trying to stab me during one of our fights? I saw it. The small tattoo of a crow on her collarbone that she got on our honeymoon in New Orleans? It was there. This was real. And somebody put her in the ground like she was nothing. My breathing turned shallow. My fingers clenched into fists, nails biting into my palms. Someone did this. Someone fucking did this. And whoever they were going to pay. I forced myself to move. Staring at her wasn't going to change a damn thing. I needed to think. Needed a plan. But my thoughts were tangled, caught between grief and rage, a vicious cycle that made my vision blur. One thing was clear. This wasn't a regular burial. Sarah hadn't been given a funeral. There were no flowers, no visitors, no signs of mourning. Just a rushed, sloppy grave. She was buried in a dump site. I'd seen enough shallow graves in my line of work to know what that meant. Someone didn't want her to be found. Someone put her here because they thought she'd stay hidden. But they made a mistake. They buried her in my hunting ground. I reached out, brushing dirt from her cheek with trembling fingers. She didn't deserve this. We weren't perfect. Hell, we were far from it, but I never wanted this. I thought she left me because she was sick of my bullshit. Turns out, she never left at all. Someone took her from me. And now I was going to take everything from them. I grabbed my shovel and started covering her back up. It felt wrong, but I had no choice. I couldn't leave her exposed like this. Couldn't let some fucking cemetery groundskeeper stumble upon her and call the cops. The cops wouldn't help me. They'd arrest me the second they saw me here. A grave robber standing over the freshly dug up corpse of his wife? Yeah, that wasn't going to end well for me. I'd been in and out of lockup enough times to know how this shit worked. They didn't care about justice. They didn't care about finding the real killer. They just wanted someone to throw in a cage and call it a day. And that sure as hell wasn't going to be me. I finished burying her, my hands shaking as I patted the dirt down. Then I stood there, chest rising and falling with heavy, uneven breaths. I needed to find out who did this. And the first place to start, Evan Carter, Sarah's new boyfriend. I clenched my jaw so hard my teeth ached. Yeah, I kept tabs on her. Even after she left. I had to. Love doesn't just disappear overnight, no matter how much you want it to. I knew she was seeing someone. Some fancy real estate prick with a $1 million smile and a trust fund fat enough to buy his way out of trouble. And if that motherfucker had anything to do with this, I was going to gut him like a pig. I cleaned up before heading out. Blood under my nails. Dirt in my hair. I wiped my face with my sleeve, straightened my coat, and took a deep breath. No one could suspect me. Not yet. I left the cemetery as quietly as I came, slipping through the back gate where the security cameras didn't reach. My car was parked 2 blocks away, tucked between 2 rusted-out vans that looked like they hadn't moved in years. I climbed in, started the engine, and sat there, gripping the wheel until my knuckles went white. Evan Carter. That smug bastard lived in a high-rise downtown, one of those sleek glass towers where the rich hid from the real world. I'd never set foot inside, but I knew the place, and I was about to pay him a visit. It was nearly 4 a.m. when I pulled up outside his building. The streets were empty, the city humming with that eerie quiet that only comes in the dead of night. The doorman barely glanced at me as I walked in. He was half asleep, slumped in his chair, one hand on his phone. Lucky me. I made my way to the elevator, heart pounding. I didn't have a plan. Didn't give a fuck about one. I just needed answers. And if Evan didn't have them, well, at least I'd have the pleasure of breaking his fucking face. I reached his floor and stepped out. The hallway smelled like expensive cologne and fresh carpet. I found his door, took a deep breath, and knocked. No answer. I knocked again. Louder this time. Still nothing. Fuck this. I tried the handle. Locked. No problem. I'd kicked down tougher doors before. I took a step back, braced myself, and slammed my foot into the wood. The door burst open, slamming against the wall with a loud crack. I stormed inside, fists clenched, ready to grab Evan by the throat. But the second I stepped into the living room, I froze. My blood went ice cold. Evan was already dead. His body was slumped over the couch, eyes glassy, mouth twisted in a permanent scream. A dark red stain spread across his chest, soaking through his crisp white dress shirt. A bullet hole. Right in the heart. I took a shaky step forward, my stomach twisting. Someone got to him before me. Someone wanted him silenced. Sarah's killer? Or just another loose end? I scanned the room. The place was too clean. No signs of struggle. No forced entry. Whoever did this, they knew what they were doing. I ran a hand through my hair, my pulse racing. This was getting bigger than I expected. And now, I was caught in the middle of something I didn't fully understand. But I didn't care. I wasn't stopping. Evan was dead, but he wasn't the only name on my list. There was still one more person I needed to see. Vanessa. Sarah's best friend. She was hiding something. And if she was involved in this, if she knew what happened to my wife, then I was going to make her grave the next one I dug. Chapter 3. Digging Up the Truth. I stood in Evan Carter's living room, the cold truth settling into my bones like an infection. He was dead. I wasn't the one who did it. But I should have been. I should have been the one to put that bullet in his chest. I should have been the one watching the life drain from his pretty boy eyes. Should have been the one making him choke on his own blood while I asked him what the fuck he did to Sarah. But someone beat me to it. And that someone, they cleaned up well. There was no forced entry. No struggle. No signs that Evan even saw it coming. Just a single, neat bullet hole in his chest, his shirt still damp with blood. His body was limp, sprawled against the couch, like he was nothing more than a discarded prop in a play. The shot was clean. Professional. This wasn't some sloppy crime of passion. It was an execution. Which meant one thing. Evan knew something he wasn't supposed to. And now. Now he wasn't saying a goddamn word. I swallowed the anger burning in my throat and forced myself to think. I didn't have time to be pissed about it. Didn't have time to be sentimental. Evan was just another corpse now. Another piece of rotting meat left in the wake of something much bigger than I realized. And I wasn't about to be next. I turned away from the body and started searching. His apartment was immaculate, the kind of place that looked like it belonged in a furniture catalog. Black leather couches, glass tables, a minibar stocked with whiskey bottles that cost more than I made in a year. It was too perfect, which meant anything useful. It wasn't going to be out in the open. I started in the bedroom. Pulled out dresser drawers, dumped them onto the floor. Found nothing but silk ties and expensive cologne. The nightstand had condoms and half a bottle of Viagra. Typical. I moved to the closet next. A row of expensive suits, neatly pressed, untouched. But then I spotted something shoved into the back corner. A small lockbox. Jackpot. I dragged it out, set it on the bed, and grabbed the closest heavy object, a whiskey bottle from the minibar. One good smash, and the lock snapped. Inside. Papers. Stacks of them. Bank statements. Receipts. Names. And at the very bottom, a burner phone. I flipped it open. No passcode. Amateur. There were only a few texts on it. Unknown number. It's done. You need to keep your mouth shut now. Evan Carter, I don't know if I can do this. I didn't sign up for this shit. Unknown number. You already did your part. If you start talking, you'll end up in a grave next to her. My blood ran cold. This was about Sarah. Evan knew. He had been involved. Maybe not the trigger man, but he had a part in it. And now, Now he was just another loose end that got tied up. I clenched my jaw. Someone else was pulling the strings. Someone bigger. And I was going to find them. I scrolled through the texts again. The last message from the unknown number was from 2 days ago. That meant whoever did this. They weren't done yet. I pocketed the burner phone and got the fuck out of there. I couldn't be in Evan's apartment when the body was found. No doubt, some maid or neighbor was going to stumble in soon, smell the blood, and call the cops. And if I was still around when that happened, let's just say I'd be answering for a lot more than grave robbing. I took the stairs, moving fast. My heart pounded, adrenaline flooding my system, but my head stayed clear. I'd been in tight spots before. This wasn't the first time I had to slip out of a crime scene before the sirens started blaring. It wouldn't be the last. By the time I made it back to my car, the city was waking up. The streets were filling, headlights cutting through the early morning fog. I climbed in, shoved the burner phone onto the passenger seat, and started the engine. I had one stop left to make tonight. Vanessa. Sarah's best friend. The woman she whispered to on the phone late at night. The woman she lied to me about. And if Evan's texts were any clue, the woman who might have been the one to kill her. Hunting season. I knew where Vanessa lived. A shitty apartment complex in the industrial district, the kind of place where the rent was low and the walls were thin. I parked down the street, watching the building from behind the wheel, hands resting on my lap. The adrenaline hadn't worn off yet, my blood still running hot, muscles coiled tight. I didn't just want answers anymore. I wanted blood. I stepped out, made my way to her door. No hesitation. No second thoughts. This wasn't a social visit. I pounded on the door with my fist. Hard. No answer. I knocked again, this time rattling the frame. Still nothing. Fuck this. I backed up, braced myself, and kicked the door in. It splintered open, swinging wildly on its hinges, and I stormed inside. The place was dark. The smell of cheap perfume and cigarette smoke clung to the air. I moved fast, sweeping through the tiny apartment. Bedroom. Empty. Bathroom. Clear. Kitchen. I stopped. The back door was wide open. Vanessa was gone. A chair was knocked over. A half-empty glass of wine sat on the counter. She had been here. But she had bolted. I clenched my fists. That meant she knew I was coming. That meant someone warned her. I turned, scanning the room. That's when I saw it, her phone, lying face up on the kitchen counter. The screen was cracked, a single text message still glowing. Unknown number, he's looking for you. Get out now. My pulse pounded. The same number from Evan's burner phone. This was bigger than Vanessa. Bigger than Evan. There was a whole network behind this. And whoever they were, they just made their first mistake. Because now, I wasn't just looking for Sarah's killer anymore. I was looking for every last one of them. And I was going to bury them all. Chapter 4. A Grave for the Guilty. I stood in Vanessa's empty apartment, fists clenched so tight my knuckles turned white. The room still smelled like her. Cheap perfume and stale cigarettes. The air was thick with it, like she had been here just minutes ago. The wine glass on the counter still had condensation on it. She ran. Not because she was scared of me. Because someone warned her. I grabbed her phone off the counter, my thumb hovering over the glowing text. He's looking for you. Get out now. The same number from Evan's burner phone. The same motherfucker who tied up loose ends by putting a bullet in Evan Carter's heart. Vanessa was next on their list. And if I didn't get to her before they did, she'd be in the ground next to Sarah before sunrise. But there was one problem. I didn't know where the fuck she was. I took a slow, deep breath and forced myself to think. Vanessa wasn't a fighter. She wasn't the kind of woman to stand her ground. She was a runner. The second things got bad, she bolted, just like she did when Sarah died. Just like she did now. That meant she had a plan. Somewhere safe. Somewhere hidden. And I had to flush her out. I slid Vanessa's phone into my pocket, turned on my heel, and walked out the door. The second my boots hit the pavement, I felt it, that gnawing sensation in the pit of my gut. I was being watched. The shadow in the dark. I didn't look around. Didn't stop moving. If someone was tailing me, I wasn't going to give them the satisfaction of knowing I felt it. I made my way back to my car, slipping inside as casually as I could. The second I shut the door, I checked my mirrors. The street was quiet. Too quiet. The kind of quiet that made the hairs on my arms stand up. And then I saw it. A black sedan. Parked two cars behind mine. No headlights. No movement. Just sitting there. Could have been nothing. Could have been a neighbor. but my gut told me otherwise. I reached into my glove compartment, wrapped my fingers around the handle of my .38 revolver, and tucked it into the waistband of my jeans. If they were watching me, I was going to give them something worth watching. I pulled out onto the road, moving slow, testing them. I took a left. The black sedan took a left. I took a right. They took a right. I ran a red light. So did they. Motherfucker. I exhaled through my nose, fingers flexing around the wheel. They weren't just following me. They were hunting me. Fine. Let's see if they can keep up. I slammed my foot on the gas. The tires screeched as I weaved through traffic, my pulse pounding in my ears. The sedan didn't hesitate. It gunned it, keeping up, close and tight, like a predator locked onto its prey. I took a hard left onto an empty street, then floored it, the city lights blurring past. My car rattled, the speedometer creeping toward 90 miles per hour. The sedan was still behind me. I cut the wheel, yanking the car into a narrow alleyway. Too tight for two vehicles. I barely made it. The sedan. Not so lucky. It clipped the brick wall at full speed. Metal crunched, glass shattered, and the car flipped, landing on its roof with a sickening, bone-crunching crash. I skidded to a stop. Waited. Watched. Nothing. No movement. Just the flickering headlights and the slow, curling smoke from the wreckage. I climbed out, gun drawn, heart hammering. I approached the wreck, glass crunching beneath my boots. My pulse was steady now. The adrenaline had settled, turning cold, sharp, lethal. I saw a body, hanging upside down in the driver's seat. Face smashed. Neck twisted at an unnatural angle. Dead. The passenger, though? He was still breathing. Barely. I yanked the door open, grabbed the fucker by the collar, and dragged him out of the car. He groaned, blood spilling from his lips, his leg bending in a way that told me it was broken beyond repair. Who sent you? I growled. He coughed. Spat blood. Tried to reach for something, probably a gun, but he was too slow. I pressed my own against his temple. Try that again, and I'll paint the pavement with your fucking skull. His eyes darted to me, foggy with pain. You don't know what you're doing. I pressed the barrel harder against his head. Then educate me. He wheezed. You're dead, man, you're already dead. I pulled the trigger. His brain splattered against the asphalt. He wasn't wrong. I was dead the second I dug up Sarah's grave. But I wasn't going to the grave alone. Vanessa's final hour. It took me an hour to find her. She wasn't at her apartment. She wasn't at any of her usual haunts. But Vanessa was a creature of habit, and I knew exactly where she'd run when she had nowhere left to go. Sarah's old house. The place they shared. I parked across the street, my fingers tightening around the revolver in my lap. The lights were on. She was home. Good. I stepped out of the car, crossed the street, and walked straight up to the front door. Then I kicked it in. Vanessa screamed. She tried to run. I was faster. I grabbed her by the hair, slammed her against the wall, and pressed my gun under her chin. She sobbed, hands clawing at my wrist. Please. Shut the fuck up. She whimpered. Did you kill Sarah? My voice was calm. Too calm. She shook her head wildly. No. I didn't. I slammed her head against the wall. She cried out. Don't lie to me. I swear, she choked out. It wasn't me. I loved her. I froze. Her eyes were red, tears streaming down her face, but I saw it, the truth buried beneath the panic. She wasn't lying. She loved Sarah. Maybe more than I ever did. But if she didn't kill her, then who the fuck did? I barely had time to register the sound of footsteps behind me before a gunshot rang out, and pain exploded through my side. I staggered, blood spilling down my ribs. My vision blurred. My ears rang. Vanessa was screaming. And standing in the doorway, gun still smoking, was a man in a black suit. He smiled. I told you to stop digging. Then he pulled the trigger again, and everything went black. Chapter 5, The Feast of Crows. Waking in the dark. Pain. That was the first thing I felt. A deep, burning agony in my side, a searing knife of fire twisting through my ribs. My lungs were heavy, like they'd been filled with cement, each breath thick with the metallic taste of blood. I tried to move. Couldn't. My hands were tied. Rope. Tight. Cutting into my wrists. I forced my eyes open. Darkness. A damp, musty smell in the air. The faint sound of dripping water somewhere in the distance. The cold bite of metal against my bare back. A chair. I was strapped to a chair. I wasn't dead. Not yet. The last thing I remembered was Vanessa screaming. The gunshot. The man in the black suit. I should have died. Why the fuck was I still breathing? Footsteps. Slow. Deliberate. Someone was coming. I lifted my head, my vision swimming. My skull felt like it had been cracked open, the pain pounding against the inside of my skull like a war drum. But I forced myself to focus. A door opened. Light spilled into the room, blinding at first. Then I saw him. The suit. The man who shot me. The man who killed Sarah. He smiled, stepping forward. "Welcome back to the land of the living," he said, voice smooth as silk. "For now." I didn't respond. Just stared. Sizing him up. He was tall, maybe 6'3", built like a boxer. Sharp features. Black gloves. Professional killer. But not some low-level thug. No. This motherfucker was something else. I could see it in his eyes, calculated. Cold. A man who's done this before. And that meant one thing. He was going to kill me. I just had to make sure I took him with me. The truth comes out. The suit pulled up a chair, sat down across from me like we were old friends meeting for a drink. "You made quite a mess," he said. I said nothing. He smirked. "Evan. Vanessa. And now my men." He shook his head. "I have to say, I underestimated you." I stared at him, silent. He leaned forward. "I want to know how much you know. If you tell me the truth, I might make this quick." I licked the blood from my lips. "Fuck you." His expression didn't change. Then he moved fast. A punch exploded across my jaw, rattling my teeth, sending a fresh wave of pain through my skull. I grunted. Spat blood. Laughed. "You hit like a bitch." His jaw tensed. That got to him. "Good." He leaned back, rolling his shoulders. "I could break every bone in your body," he said, voice low, controlled. "But I won't. Not yet." Then he smiled. "Because I want you to hear the truth first." I stayed silent, but my pulse quickened. The truth. That was what I wanted. And if he thought he was going to kill me before I got it, he was fucking mistaken. Sarah's murder. He exhaled, rubbing his jaw like he was trying to decide how much to tell me. Then he spoke. "Your wife wasn't innocent." I clenched my fists. "She stole from us," he continued, watching me carefully. "And not just a little. Hundreds of thousands." I frowned. "Bullshit." "She was fucking Evan," he said, shrugging. "Used him. Played him. And when he found out, he panicked." I shook my head. "Sarah wasn't like that." He smirked. "You didn't know her at all." Something inside me snapped, but I forced myself to hold still. "Keep listening. She stole from me. From my employer. And when she realized we were onto her, she ran." He sighed, shaking his head. "Evan tried to help. That was his first mistake. And his second?" I asked, voice tight, thinking he could buy his way out of it. I let the words sink in. Evan was working with them. He tried to cut a deal. Tried to save his own fucking skin. And that was why he ended up with a bullet in his chest. Just like Sarah. Just like I was about to. Unless I did something about it. The escape. I needed to move. Now. The suit was still talking, but I wasn't listening. I was watching. Calculating. The way he sat. The way he leaned just a little too close. The knife on his belt. His gun, tucked under his jacket. Clothes. Too close. He thought I was weak. Beaten. He was wrong. I moved. Fast. I wrenched my hands up, snapping the zip ties against the back of the chair. The second they broke, I lunged, grabbing the knife from his belt and driving it into his thigh. He screamed. I ripped the blade free, slammed it into his throat. Hot blood gushed across my face. His eyes widened. He tried to speak. Choked. Gurgled. Then he collapsed. Dead. One down. More to go. The killing spree. I took his gun. His keys. And then I went hunting. The warehouse was full of them. Men in suits. Killers. And I tore through them like a fucking demon. Shot one in the back of the head before he could scream. Slit another's throat in the hallway. Broke a third's neck with my bare hands. Blood painted the walls. The floor. My face. They thought they were the predators. They were wrong. I was the monster. And I was starving. The final kill. By the time I reached the boss's office, I was drenched in red. He was waiting. Gun on the desk. Smile on his face. "I underestimated you," he said. I raised my gun. "Yeah. You did." He sighed. "Go ahead." I didn't hesitate. I pulled the trigger. Boom. His brain splattered across the wall. Just like that, it was over. Epilogue, The Feast of Crows. I left the bodies where they fell. Didn't bother cleaning up. Didn't need to. By morning, the cops would find what was left. And me? I'd be long gone. Sarah was avenged. The bastards who put her in the ground were rotting. And the crows? The crows would have one hell of a feast.